Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the best defense I've been on, and it's just the most cool group of guys you could ask for to be able to go to work with every single day. And, you know, you share a bond, you start to build a bond over the years, and then, you know, new guys come in and you start to build even more of a stronger bond. And you go through tough times, you go through good times, and so it's just, you know, the brotherhood that we have on this football team. I'm not even talking just on the defensive side of the football. Special teams to the offense, even the coaches, man, and the strength staff, just the whole organization as a whole, training staff, you know, it's one that you want to be a part of. And so that Sean is there is amazing. And we just want to continue to build that.
Jordan Poyer was on with us yesterday. If you missed the interview, it's an on-demand audio. The best part of it is we convinced him not to go to Antarctica. He was planning his bucket list. In the Bills media guy was he wanted to go to all seven continents. He's obviously been to North America. He's been to South America. Those are the only two. And we convinced him that Antarctica would probably, his wife wouldn't want to go. So you don't need to go to Antarctica. It is Football Friday, brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, the official casino of the Buffalo Bills. I got a quick stat of the day on the Cincinnati Bengals. It was just, the opener not so bad, but last week against San Francisco, I'm not sure you could have drawn up a more nightmarish scenario for their home opener. Their defense was just terrible. They gave up 250-plus rushing yards to the third and fourth string running backs. But here's your stat of the day, Bills fans, for Josh Allen and the receivers. The 49ers last week, according to Radar 360, 49ers last week had 222 yards after the catch. That is the most ever recorded against any Bengals team. There were a lot of missed tackles.
Not the Buff State Bengals, though, probably. They probably had. Sorry, go ahead.
You really want to go there?
I'm sorry.
How'd that Clemson game go?
Not great.
how'd that Maryland game go?
Worse, actually.
Okay. You're not losing to Western Michigan, so don't worry. Mm. You should beat Western Michigan. Anyway, yards after catch. So among the issues they have, missed tackles, yards after catch, 222 recorded by San Francisco last week, the most ever against a Bengals team. They gave up screen passes. They had blown assignments. It was a cacophony of errors for the Bengals defense last week. So feeling good about Sunday's game. And we're talking about it with you at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550 to share your thoughts. If you're feeling good about this matchup, why? If you're worried about Sunday's game between the Bills and the Bengals, why? They did play well in Seattle in defeat in week one, and then just everything went bad for them last week. Do keep in mind, They have good skill talent on offense. Andy Dalton is throwing the ball well through the first two games. They've got multiple receiving options. John Ross is off to a great start. Tyler Boyd is having a good start. Tyler Eifert is back at tight end for them. They have not been able to generate really any running game with Joe Mixon and Gio Bernard. If you're a Joe Mixon fantasy holder, you're probably very unhappy over the first two games. There are a lot of things I love about this matchup. I think the two biggest problems would be John Ross, make sure he doesn't have a big day, and the Bills' offensive line holding up against their defensive line. That's about it. Those are the only possible concerns I could bring up on this. I like everything else about this game for the Bills.
Talking myself into a blowout here. Maybe you're talking me into a blowout.
No, I'm not. I just think they're going to win. I don't think it'll be a blowout. You might have to sweat this one out. I have no idea. They're going to win the game. I'm confident they're going to win the football game. I'm not worried about letdown, trap, any of that stuff. As I said, if there are two issues, I mean, I suppose Mixon in their running game could have a big day, but they're having a lot of issues up front. They're banged up on the offensive line. They're down two starters at left tackle. They're starters at left tackle and probably left guard. They've been unable to run the ball, which means they're leaning on Dalton in the passing game. If Trey White plays and John Ross doesn't go nuts, which he shouldn't, the Bills have a really good pass defense. The Bills' pass rush should be able to get some pressure on Andy Dalton. So I would never tell you blowout. Like Giants game, sure, I would have signed up on blowout. I'm not at that level of confidence here, but I'm I'm expecting a win on Sunday. I think they're going to beat Cincinnati.
It's funny. You expected a blowout against the Giants. They are favored by six times as many points, right? They were one-point favorite, one and a half.
What were they, 1.5?
Yeah. So maybe four times as much. Whatever. Yeah. Now you're up to a six-point favorite and at home.
You're home, and your opponent just got blown up last week by San Francisco at home, you know, giving up 41 points. So I get it. Would I take the Bills and give the points? Yeah, I don't think that. I think they will win by more than 6 points on Sunday. So, not a problem.
What's a blowout? More than 10? No.
I'm going to say you got to get to 17 for it to be a blowout.
17's a blowout?
More than two possessions.
More than 20.
Really? Well, that's more than two possessions. You don't think 17's a blowout?
No.
31-14, the Bills win. It's not a blowout?
Yeah, it might be.
See? Does it matter how many? 17-0 versus 30? Do you have to have more points?
It depends what the biggest lead was. Right? If you're up 31-0 mm-hmm. and then the Bengals get a couple of garbage guys, then sure, then that's a blowout.
Yeah, I don't know.
Otherwise, it's winning going away.
I don't think it'll be winning going away. I don't think it'll be a blowout. You know, I don't think it'll be like the Giants game where really by halftime you knew the game was over. You know, I think Andy Dalton's a good quarterback. And like I said, I think they do have good weapons in the skill position. And they do have good defensive linemen. The guys up front on their defense, that's a real tough group to go against. So there are reasons to look at this and say, like, I thought the Giants are going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. I wouldn't necessarily say that about Cincinnati. There are some talented players for them. But if you look at an overall team matchup, I just think the Bills have edges in a lot of different areas, and that's why I think they're going to win the football game on Sunday.
One thing about this Bills team, you know, they're making sure not to get too high on 2-0. Fans can do that all they want because, you know, fans aren't going to be the ones to suffer a letdown. I wonder where, like, what the record is for me to actually take that seriously, you know? For a team to say they're not getting too high on being 2-0, I would think, well, right, nobody would be. You get to, like, 8-1 – that conversation becomes real to me because you really are a good team and handling success in a way that, you know, people around here haven't had to really deal with for quite a long time.
I'll follow up your question with this. What if they win the next two games?
And they're 4-0?
4-0 with a win over New England. I got to figure out where my head is at that Monday morning. Where am I? I mean, 8-1, I will beat you to the punch. If they win the next two games, I'm thinking big. I don't want to go there. Let's not jinx it. I don't want to go there.
What's big?
Big? Like actually winning the division.
That's big.
Which is unheard of to even have that conversation in the Brady era. Unheard of, right?
Yeah.
They've never lost the division when he's been healthy, right?
Right.
So let's not get too far down the road. It's funny. Remember I started the week and I told you I was thinking a lot about the Tennessee game? Forget it. I've backtracked to New England. Tennessee is a very winnable game. They did not look good last night.
No, I would say it's, yeah.
So beat Cincinnati, and let's talk about week four. And if they beat New England, couldn't even tell you where my head's going to be at that Monday morning. Anything will be on the table at that point.
Well, Monday morning's one thing. I'd want to know where you are on Tuesday morning when you're picking the Bills to go 16-0 at that point.
Well, they'll probably lose at Foxborough, you know.
People listening right now are like, wow, this game, if they lose, this is a crash back to earth moment. But now, I think we're being honest, if they were to lose this game, it wouldn't mean the season is over.
No.
But it would definitely be a crash back to earth kind of thing.
It would slow me down a little bit, for sure. You know, I wouldn't say this is where the slide comes. Now they're going to lose to the Patriots, they're going to lose to the Titans, they're going to be 2-3 with Miami coming in. I wouldn't necessarily go there. But I do. I expect them to win. If they lose, let's see how they play. What happens? Are there injuries? Do they get a bad call go against them? Who knows? If they lose, yeah, it's going to take a little bit out of my sails, but it wouldn't screw the season over.
Tom Brady tweeted a complaint about the NFL last night. Tom, terrific there. He was mad about all the penalties.
A lot of penalties.
There were.
I was going to bring this up with Sean McDermott. Holding calls are up. It's been a point of emphasis. It is up. They had a stat last night. There was a holding call in the very first play of the game last night, and Joe Buck said, there have been 180 holding calls through the first 2 weeks of the season.
And I'm pretty sure holding is more likely to be called on running plays than passing plays.
And it was on a Fournette run last
night.
Which
is, some are arguing now that that's a reason you should pass more. Hmm. Because you're more likely to get, first off, running doesn't get you as many yards, and you're more likely to get a holding penalty called against you.
I didn't look at the breakdown, but it seemed like the ones that were being called in the first half last night were more on running plays on both teams than they were on passing plays. So, yeah, it's... he's right. I mean, there are penalties are up overall, I think, And it's just really annoying to watch this many stoppages and this many flags being thrown in the football game. But holding is up a big, big increase this year. 803-0550 to join us this morning as we talk about the Bills-Bengals matchup. 888-550-2550. So if you're going to the game Sunday, you probably know about the new Tailgate Village. There's also going to be an extra police and security guard presence on Sunday. And something called Skywatch. So on our Westher hotline right now is Andy Major. Andy is Vice President of Operations and Guest Experience for the Buffalo Bills, and he's going to delve into that a little bit with us. Andy, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Good. Good. Jeremy's got a beer question for you. Does that fall under guest experiences, too?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, let's talk beer.
We've got lots of questions. Actually, I pulled up. We had a conversation, Andy, back in May when you guys announced the Tailgate Village thing, and I opened it this week just to refresh my memory, which is probably sure. What you guys are doing a lot of the last week or so is, hey, all those changes we put in place, remember all those. Remember all the things that are going to be different this year.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's been out there for a while. We've really been trying to get the word out, emails, communications, you know, press conferences, really a lot of collaboration, a lot of feedback with the sheriff, the fans, the taxi bus limo associations, the bus and limo companies, et cetera. And, you know, we do think the word is out there because we're getting a lot of calls. We're getting a lot of traction. And Tailgate Guys has been busy. So they've been, you know, selling up that Tailgate Village, and we're looking forward to the first game.
Hey, but before the Tailgate Village and all the other stuff for the opener, Andy, are there other things fans need to know in terms of anything with game day experience that are different this year?
I have one that I saw yesterday, Andy. Maybe you can speak to this.
Sure.
That the tickets are on your phone. We've known that. But that you cannot screenshot your tickets anymore, because is it true that they refresh every 15 seconds? Something about the barcode refreshing. So you do need the live ticket, not a screenshot.
Yeah, you guys are right. I mean, it's a different technology. It's not a screenshot. So you want to get your ticket, have your ticket ready. You can put it on your Apple Wallet, but you're right. The barcode refreshes. And that's a real new technology to prevent, you know, fraud and other tickets, other people getting in with the wrong device. So, yeah, that's a great point, and we do appreciate the fans being ready. We will have our ticket folks out at all the gates to help the fans if they're having any troubles transferring their ticket to their device and that kind of thing. But the first two games did go pretty well for us, so we don't anticipate too many issues on Sunday.
Is there anything else fans need to know about that's new this year?
You know, I mean, there's a lot going on with the fan experience. There's a new place inside the stadium called the Labatt Scoreboard Square, where we're going to have the Believers, a live band inside the stadium performing. But the Boulevard is still in play for fans. The fan zone inside the field house is still available. And we'll have the Miller Lite Brew Pub again available for, you know, the extra fans that don't want to tailgate by their vehicle or don't want to tailgate in Tailgate Village. So, lots of options for fans this year.
With the opener, you had a press conference earlier this week, talked about some of the extra police presence and security guards and this Skywatch tower. Let's talk a little bit about that and why is that going to be in place on Sunday?
Yeah, guys. I mean, you know, the Bills and all of our law enforcement partners, we're all about fan safety. You know, that's the number one priority, is making sure, you know, we want the fans to tailgate, have a great time, you know, be loud, be proud. But also be responsible and enjoy themselves and not, you know, ruin the experience for others. So we do have extra undercover officers working the parking lots this year. We have video surveillance. And then, yeah, the Buffalo Police Skywatch, we partner with the Buffalo Police Department, and they're working closely with our sheriff officers. So that'll be in play in the bus and limo lot. And we may move that around occasionally to different places. But it gives our guys, you know, kind of a bird's eye close up view of what's going on, and really helps us with, you know, addressing any fan behavior issues in a more efficient manner.
When it comes to fans getting into the stadium, you generally have, from time to time, a late arriving crowd. I may be guilty of this sometimes. So have you guys done anything new this year to try and speed things up at the gate, whether it's the digital tickets that are speeding things up or any other strategies that have been implemented this year to try and help things?
Yeah, guys, that's a great question. I mean, we get that every year. You know, it's something we're really focused on. You know, something the NFL has evolved with over the years. You guys know at one point there was no security screening, and then they went to pat downs after 9/11. We were doing hand wands, And then now we've got the walk-through metal detectors. So we certainly understand it's a bit of an inconvenience for fans. So we're looking at everything we can do to expedite that process. And one of the things this year we've done is we've got new ticket scanners that will really help, and the mobile ticketing is a part of this, really helps scan the folks and the fans through the gates a lot quicker than ever before. So the technology there is greatly improved. So that'll be a one thing to help us get fans in quicker. And then the actual metal detectors themselves have been upgraded for a new setting to really help screen the fans better so that you don't necessarily have to take all of the items that they're used to taking out of their pockets. And some of the items won't go off in the metal detectors, but it'll still scan, you know, what's prohibited, what's not allowed inside the stadium, with the main goal obviously being weapons. So, yeah, there's a few things put in place, and we also have hired additional staffing to work the gates, so to really help the fans get ready. And well, you guys said it right. I mean, we know fans are going to tailgate and have a great time and probably get into the gates a little bit late, and I think they know when they do that, they might risk missing kickoff, but you know, if they're okay with that, we're going to still do our best to get them in as quickly as possible.
We got a tweet while you were talking with us, Andy, here. A person wanted to know about clear fanny packs. Are those allowed? They gave her trouble last time.
So as long as those guys, the clear fanny packs, are fall within the size of the small clutch purse, you know, they're going to be okay. You know, if they're anything larger than that, you know, the size is the key thing there. So sometimes people come with a big backpack, and the backpacks aren't allowed. Even if they're clear, they're still not allowed. But if it falls within the 12-inch by 6-inch by 12-inch for the clear plastic bag, then those guys would be fine.
Andy, overall, before we let you go, when you look at the overall, not just Tailgate Village, not just the bus lot, which was an area that you guys wanted to focus on to reduce the number of issues, overall on the Bills lots, where are you in terms of tailgating last season? Number of issues, is it still too many? Is it in control, under control, whatever? How would you describe the Bills lots when it comes to tailgating and your the team's position on that right now?
You know, I may be biased, and you know, having teenage kids and having fans and friends that tailgate out in those lots, but I would argue we're the best in the league. I think we've got the greatest fans that tailgate. You know, they're responsible. They have a good time. They follow the policies. You know, they engage with our security teams and our guest services teams that roam the lots in the golf carts, and it's almost like a neighborhood fun, amazingly different atmosphere than anywhere in the league. The only thing we really addressed this year was the bus and limo lot. We weren't concerned with the regular, I call them regular parking lots of the Bills, because the fans have been great in those lots for a number of years now. You know, we did make a couple of changes in those lots a few years ago when we went to one car, one space, and, you know, we paved the lots. We put out garbage and recycling bags with our blue team to really help the fans keep their tailgates clean. And that, those types of things, I think, make a bit of a difference. So we're loving what's going on in our own parking lots, and we're just concerned a bit about the bus and limo lot, which is why we made some of those changes this year.
All right. Andy, thanks. Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Guys, I really appreciate it. What a weekend, huh? We're undefeated, and it's going to be great weather. Go Bills. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Have fun. All right, you bet. Andy is the VP of Operations and Guest Experiences for the Buffalo Bills, joining us here on our Western Hotline. Let's talk more about the Bills-Bengals matchup with all of you. 803-0550. Nate on Staten Island. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
It's Mike on Staten Island.
Oh, okay. Hey, Mike. Go right ahead.
All right. I'm worried about this matchup because the Bengals always play the Bills tough.
Well, they've had some issues with Andy Dalton. You know, they're I think it was 1-4 career against Andy Dalton. But again, I think in terms of this matchup, if you look specifically at this Bengals team, there are a lot of favorable matchups for the Bills. The Bills defensive line against the Bengals offensive line, to me, is a big edge for Buffalo. You know, so I think they should be able to get pressure on Dalton and hopefully negate some of the weapons he's got in the passing game and be able to keep the Bengals running game in check. I like that matchup. The story of the season so far is the Bills' offense. It looks good. It's looked good through a couple of games. And, you know, Cincinnati's defense, good up front, not good after that. So, that's, like I said, I think the history will show you they have not fared well against Dalton and the Bengals in recent years. But I just think there are so many things that I like about Sunday's game that I'm not really concerned about it. But thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 803-0550. It is Football Friday here on WGR, brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, official casino of the Buffalo Bills. We're talking about the matchup all morning with y'all.
Seems like it's the year of big spreads because of Miami.
220-pointers this week.
Yeah, and the Bills at 6 is still a decent-sized spread, but how many are bigger this week? The 220-pointers, of course, Miami and
Denver at Green Bay?
Yeah. I'll pull it up here.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. That's got to be one of the bigger
ones. Yeah, that's a seven-point spread. Lions-Eagles is 6. You got a 9-point spread between the Raiders and Vikings.
Oh.
There are big, big spreads.
That's a big spread for because Minnesota, you never know what the Vikings are going to do.
How many games have a spread of less than a field goal?
4.
1.
That's all?
1.
Really?
Falcons-Colts. 1.5.
That seems odd. I would think...
2. Sorry, Panthers.
Still, that's a really low number.
There are a couple that are at 3, but only 2 games have a spread of less than a field goal.
It's blowout Sunday around the NFL. Well, at least 2 games for sure. All right, we'll get some more of your calls. Murph's going to join us, too, for his Football Friday segment. We'll talk about some of the big storylines for Sunday's matchup at New Era Field. Sean McDermott with us, scheduled at 9:15 this morning, WGR.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Lions' offense is a pretty good offense. They do a lot of things to get you off, but the thing is pre-snap communication to get lined up and just doing the job. Basically, quarterback pretty good, trying to get everything mixed up, but just lining up.
Bills defensive backs are on Neal. The Bills getting ready for the Bengals. We're going to talk about the matchup in a moment with Murph. Football Friday continuing on WGR. It was football last night. The Bills' Week 5 opponent lost Tennessee. 20-7 to Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew. Couple more touchdown passes. Both teams now 1-2. Jalen Ramsey from the Jaguars, he asked to be traded. Told ESPN after the game, he expects to be traded by the Jaguars before their next game. To the Bills, the injury report. Yeah, not a good day yesterday for Tyler Kroft. He had practiced fully Wednesday, was moving in the right direction, and then suffered an injured ankle yesterday and was limited. Taron Johnson, Devin Singletary both sat out practice, hamstrings. Limited for Andre Roberts and Trey White, but they seem to be going in a positive direction towards playing on Sunday. Josh Rosen will start for the Dolphins on Sunday in Dallas. Good luck with that. Brandon Montour has a hand injury. He's going to miss the rest of the preseason. The Sabres play the next preseason game tonight in Toronto. We'll have it on WGR beginning at 6:45 with the pregame show. And the Yankees clinched the AL East with a win over the Angels last night, their first division title since 2012. Those are your headlines. 803-0550. We'll get to your calls on Football Friday. We'll get to our Wester Hotline. John Murphy is standing by, brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills. Good morning, Mr. Murphy. Congratulations on your big night last night. John was part of the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame Class of 2019. They were all honored last night, including our colleague here, Don Tomasulo. Congratulations, Murph.
Thanks, Howard. Yeah, it was great. And great going with Donnie. He's a great guy I've known for many years, and he got a nice warm reception last night. He's one of everybody's favorites.
Do you get a closer parking spot at work now? What are the perks that come with being a Hall of Famer? Is it?
That has not come across yet.
Okay.
I'll look for that. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, Murph, last week when we had you on, I know I had talked about really feeling confident about that game against the Giants for a number of reasons. What about Sunday's matchup? What are your feelings about this matchup against the 0-2 Bengals?
Well, I mean, look, there are reasons to be confident that the Bills have played better than the Bengals. I think the Bills are more talented than the Bengals, but I think the Bills are going to have to play well to win. Look, Cincinnati's a desperate team at 0-2. They are proficient in the passing game, number 2 passing attack in the league. They do have weapons, John Ross and Tyler Boyd and a good tight end and Tyler Eifert. And I think Joe Mixon is better than he's played. He's been kind of awful the first couple of weeks for them. So they have weapons. They can do something. But I think the Bills are better. I just don't. I think the Bengals might be the best and the most talented team the Bills have faced so far this year. And that tells you something. The Bills won their first game against the Jets by just 1 point. So the Bills have to stick to business, keep doing what they did last week, and they get out of here with a win on Sunday.
Yeah, it's funny. I agree. You know, you look at we've been talking about the skill positions for the Bengals. Really good. But I think there are so many other, and they're having a lot of issues on the defensive side of the ball. When you look at this matchup, Murph, overall, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, whatever, where do you think are the most favorable matchups for the Bills come Sunday?
Well, Cincinnati's got some real issues on the offensive line health-wise, right? They're plugging people in. They had to re-sign Andre Smith, their former first-rounder, who they brought back, and he did not play well, and then he came up with a bit of an injury yesterday. Cordy Glenn has yet to play this year. I think that might be the best matchup for the Bills, and I think there's much more to come from the Buffalo defensive front. I think they can I think they will be able to get after the passer and put some pressure on Dalton in this game, and I think they'll probably dial up some pressure, too, because of the uncertainty on the offensive line. To me, that would be the most favorable matchup for the Bills. And if you ask me that question the rest of the season, I'll probably tell you it will be on the defensive side of the ball, because the Bills, I think, are a really, really good defense this year, even better than last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I think if you look at this matchup, you know, we can talk about their running backs, Murph and John Ross and Tyler Boyd. They're both having a good start to their season. Tyler Eifert's back. But it's hard to get past up front, and that's an area they're struggling on the offensive line. You would think the way the Bills have looked, not just the starters, the reserves that are coming in. Harrison Phillips had a big game last week. Their ability to get pressure, to bat down passes, the push they're getting should bode well on Sunday for the Bills.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, you talked to them about the knockdown passes, and it's good. It's a sign of success, but they also think, well, we got to turn some of these into sacks, you know, and they're up against a couple of offenses so far, and I think they'll be up against another offense on Sunday. They want to get rid of the ball, a lot of three-step drop, a lot of West Coast-style offensive concepts, which means it'll be hard to get sacked. So the hands will be up, and the passes will probably be knocked down again this week.
If Trey White plays, would we expect to see him up against John Ross as much as possible?
I don't know about that. That'll be something to watch. You know, they've gone both ways with Trey White in his career so far, right? Sometimes they match him up against the opponent's best receiver. Sometimes they just play left and right.
Yep.
That's a good question. I'm not sure which way they would go in this case. The threat of John Ross's speed, deep downfield speed, and I think that might be, you know, it's not like he's a big body or a big physical receiver, so it might be easier to defend that than it would be against a guy who's, you know, for instance, A.J. Green, who won't play, you know what I'm saying? That would be a better matchup for anybody, I think, you know, at least in terms of a challenge. So I'll have to keep an eye on that. I'm not sure how they will play John Ross.
Murph, I was looking at your storylines earlier this week at BuffaloBills.com, and one of the things you brought up was John Brown. And I think we all knew that he and Beasley would definitely have an impact on this offense. I'm not sure you could have drawn up the first two games much better than what we've seen from John Brown, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, this is a conversation that Tasker and I had on the air in training camp about, you know, you go to camp and you think, well, one of the questions, well, who's the number one receiver? Well, it turns out they have a number one receiver, and his name is John Brown, and I think he's played the role really well through two games, right? 10 targets each game. I think it was 10 each game, maybe 9 last week. 7 catches in each game, and they're not just deep, you know, speed routes from smoke. It's all over the field. Good, reliable hands, and I think he is the top target in the passing game right now. And Beasley, if Brown is target number one, Beasley is 1A, you know, because he's got an entirely different role to play, and he plays it very well. I'm surprised by a lot, pleasantly surprised by a lot of what they've done on offense through two games. Offensive line would be number one, but the good play of those two in particular, Brown and Beasley, I think is my second biggest surprise of the offense. And again, a very pleasant surprise. I wasn't sure about that going into the year.
I think it's interesting, Murph. Those two guys, if you look at it, you know, you look at the receivers that are back from last year, and Zay Jones had a really good step last year, right? He improved from year one to year two, and people, I think, were really excited about what they saw from Robert Foster the last half of last year, and even Isaiah McKenzie and what he could provide for the offense. And really, I know McKenzie got the touchdown last week, but those three guys, you haven't heard much from them. And I don't think it's as much an indictment about them as it is a statement about how the upgrade in talent has made the difference. It's more about Brown and Beasley. I think other guys that were in key roles have now been kind of pushed to the background of the passing offense.
Yeah, they got better. You know, they got better at that position. They got better on the offensive line, and we saw the same thing with many of those last year players being, you know, off the roster now. But they definitely got better at the wide receiver spot. The one thing I would say is it's still very early in the season, and I think they seem to have a knack. Brian Daboll seems to have a knack for kind of a varied approach every game.
Yeah.
So I would not rule out games down the line where Zay Jones has a more prominent role to play, or Robert Foster, or Isaiah McKenzie, for that matter. I think they will probably use the entire roster before it's all said and done. And if they get Andre Roberts back, which they may, that'll make it even more interesting at wide receiver. But you're right, they got better around those returning wide receivers from a year ago, and that's why their snaps have been limited. I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is I don't know if it'll stay that way.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I think you're right. One of the things I was going to ask Sean McDermott about when he's on with us next hour is what you basically just touched on. There's a versatility to the offense now that I think allows Brian Daboll more of an opportunity to create matchup-specific game plans. I mean, he couldn't do that last year. But now, not just the wide receivers, Murph, that we talked about, but the tight ends, the more athletic offensive linemen. If you're Daboll, I think you can actually now attack the other teams a little better than you could have last year and change up from week to week what your plan is and who's going to be an integral part of that plan.
Yeah, he has weapons, right? He's probably thinking, how did I do this last year without these weapons? That thought might occur to him, although he never admitted. But, yeah, he's got buttons to push now, buttons that he did not have a year ago. And I think it's provided some, second half of the Jets game and the entire game last Sunday, it's provided some really good production offensively. They need to keep that going.
All right, Murph, we'll be listening for the call on Sunday. As always, thanks for joining us, and we'll chat about it with you on Bills Football Monday.
Okay, great. Thank you, Hart.
John Murphy joining us here on a Western Hotline every Football Friday with us at 8:30. His segment brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills. I have instant trivia. Boys, ready? Since we're on the topic of the Cincinnati Bengals, I think you'll get this one. My trivia questions are never really that hard. I'm so easy on you guys. So the Bills have played Andy Dalton 5 times in his NFL career. If you care about this stuff, Dalton is 4-1 against the Bills. He has thrown 9 touchdowns. Passes against the Buffalo Bills to 7 different players. We are looking for the 7 different Cincinnati Bengals who have caught an Andy Dalton touchdown pass against your beloved Buffalo Bills. 4 are currently on the roster, so you shouldn't have a problem getting those guys.
Boyd, Green, Eifert.
That's 3. One more. Running back.
Giovanni Bernard.
I would have accepted Gio Bernard, but you had to show off and go with the full name.
You always have to go with the full name.
Giovanni Bernard. Okay, 3 former Bengals. Would you like clues right away?
Is Ocho Cinco one of them?
No.
He's not. Is one TJ Hushamazzilli one?
No.
Jerome Simpson?
No, and not OJ Simpson. 1 wide receiver, 1 running back, 1 tight end. Let's see, where I want to start here. Wide receiver you guys should remember. He had a good career in Cincinnati, then signed a big free agent contract in Detroit. Played in 2000.
Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones is the wide receiver. Yes, very good. Let's see. The running back, honestly, it's sad, but the way this guy, I think, is remembered by me and a lot of other people is a really costly lost fumble in a playoff loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Out of LSU, was paired with Gio Bernard in the backfield for a while as part of their 2 backs. Went to New England in 2018, played 1 game, ripped up his ACL, and was done for the year.
Rex Burkhead.
Nope. Looking for... Same first name as my co-host.
Jeremy
Hill.
Hill, that's
big
right.
Fumble against the Pittsburgh Steelers when they lost that game. Last guy's a tight end. I think you will have heard of him. Played in Cincinnati from 2010 to 2014. Then went over to the Arizona Cardinals. Couple Pro Bowls. Been in Arizona the last 4 years. Looking for Jermaine Gresham. Those are your 7 players who have a touchdown pass against the Bills from Cincinnati's Andy Dalton.
I was working on something there. We had a caller on hold that was going to bring something up and then hung up.
Yes.
So I'm going to bring up the point and tell you something else about it. The caller was going to point out that the Bills have the chance to go to 3-0 while beating 3 teams that it will be 0-3, which is not unique. Yeah. It won't be only the Bills.
Oh, is that right?
Nope. I'm looking. Basically,
just this year? It's
what I was
unique.
Looking for is who else can do exactly that this week?
Yeah.
The Patriots can. They beat the Steelers, the Dolphins, and the Jets.
Wow, the Steelers could be
the Steelers and the Dolphins. So if they beat the Jets, they'll be 3-0. The Steelers would lose.
Yeah.
The Cowboys could have that happen. They are 2-0 and have beaten 2 teams that are 0-2
Giants.
And play the Dolphins.
Yeah.
So those teams, again, would have to lose. Teams that are... So it's not just the Bills. The Seahawks are 2-0 and have 2 wins over 2 teams that are 0-2.
Yeah, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, right.
So if the Bills... beat the Bengals, and if the Steelers lose to the 49ers. So there are a couple different teams that could, still be in line with that. It really doesn't mean much.
Just honestly, it means you're taking care of business. You're beating the teams you should beat.
Right. It does mean that you don't have any impressive wins, but here's your question. What's the most impressive win in the NFL so far? You're only two games in, so you don't even know.
I would have said Tennessee at Cleveland, but I'm not sure what's going on.
The answer
Cleveland.
Might be the winner of the Chiefs-Ravens game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Baltimore,
It's
Kansas
just tough. The Seahawks beating the Steelers? I mean, we don't know all the good teams and the bad teams yet. So the most impressive win, is it the 49ers beating Cincinnati? Is it...
You would have said maybe Rams-Saints, but Breeze got hurt.
Right. Is it this week if the Browns beat the Rams? You know, you really can't get the most impressive win so early in the season.
Philly, Atlanta, no. Yeah, I'm trying to just spin through the first 2 weeks to see what stood out from them. Even Seattle winning at Pittsburgh, you might say, was impressive, but...
Pittsburgh might not be any good.
Steelers got blown out by the Patriots, and they lost Roethlisberger in that game. 803-0550. Mark tweeted in, worried about John Ross. Boyd will get his touches. Have a stat line similar to Crowder's in week one, in his opinion, which was like 14 catches, but for 99 yards. The deep speed means soft coverage, which can mean a big day for Ross without ever beating anybody over the top. It's kind of the John Brown discussion, you know? You worry so much about the speed, you give the guy enough cushion that he makes plays underneath. And I bet that's part of John Ross having the success he's had the first couple games this season. If you're feeling good about the game against Cincinnati, why? If you're worried about Sunday's game, why? It is Football Friday, brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, official casino of the Buffalo Bills. Sean McDermott scheduled to join us around 9:15.
And when we get back, our new, very popular segment, game, fun.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is a real fascinating game from a Buffalo standpoint, just because they are favored by 6. They've been favored by 6 or more in the first 3 weeks of the regular season. This is just the second time in the last decade. These are expectations that Buffalo usually doesn't see, and they're seeing a Cincinnati team that has really, really struggled. The one thing that I'm looking at in this game is I think the under 44 is a good play. It's up from 40.5. The under is 9-4 under Josh Allen. And when you look at the Bengals without A.J. Green have done a really, really bad job at scoring points.
That is Evan Abrams. Market's open. Evan Abrams from the Action Network with Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Time for Hose Money.
Oh, come on.
This is so fun.
I thought you were going to do something else.
This is our gambling segment.
I thought we were going to pick what pictures we're putting in the studio of all these crazy events in Buffalo sports. You give me, what is this? I object.
You don't have to bet this money.
Thank goodness.
But let's look at some spreads.
Thank goodness.
Some spreads.
And
some Hose Money picks.
Can you also do a disclaimer that no one should follow my betting advice
with
actual money?
Listen, if you want to tell people to bet the opposite, you can do whatever you want.
I'm just telling you not to follow my advice if money is involved.
You started out red hot. You had a bit of a hiccup. Let's get back on the horse.
Bit of a hiccup. Freaking
clean
Lions.
Slate. Look at all these big spreads. You got one you like? You got a game here?
I got to get the spreads in front
How about the over-under on the Bills game, as Evan Abrams just said?
I would take the under.
He says go under, 44.
I like the under here because I don't think the Bengals are scoring more than like 14. So I could see like a 27, 28, 13 win here for the Bills.
28-13. That gets you to 41.
So it's, yeah, you said 44.
That means you're nervous. And you're afraid of the old.
Well, I'm nervous about the over-under. I think under 44. I just don't think the Bengals are going to score a ton of points.
How about the Sunday night game, Rams-Browns? The Browns are home dogs, getting 3 points.
Are they really?
Home dogs.
You know what? Boy, do I think it's going to... I think the Browns will win.
Three in that case, points. You're going to take them outright?
I'm trying to figure out if I'm giving the points. They're home dogs. Yes, I'm taking the points. They're going to win.
Browns
plus
3.
They're going to win. Take the points. Yep.
And then game of the week, Ravens at Chiefs. How about this? The spread in that game is the same as the Bills game. 6. Home team favored by 6 points. Chiefs by 6 over the Ravens. The over-under, that might be the more fun bet, 52. Would you bet the over or the under?
I would take the over.
Over on 52 points.
I don't know if it's going to be... What was the crazy... What was the
Rams-Chiefs
Monday Nighter last year or whatever? Where like 100-something points.
235 or whatever, yeah.
The over-under was passed at like the midpoint of the second quarter, I think. I'll take the over. Don't you think it's going to be more points than 53 combined? You know, Kansas City's defense is still suspect. I mean, it could end up being a big shootout game. Let's see what I give. No. Take Baltimore with the points. High-scoring game, close game. Give me 6. I'll take Baltimore at 6.5. Give me your best bet, Mr. Odds expert over there, of all the games. Best bet, if you had to make one wager this week.
I would bet
Miami not getting...
No, that's
giving,
right.
Giving 21 to the Dolphins.
This is the other part of Ho's money, is I give you my internet browser, firewall, platinum, plutonium, time travel lock of the week.
Quick drying cement game. You just make this bet and lock it in.
Quick
drying cement. That's mine.
Here it is.
You can't steal that.
Lock this one in.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling. I got it. Lock it in. Book it. Packers -7 at home against Denver.
I like that.
Absolute lock.
I went with the Packers for my brother's survivor pick this week.
I mean, the Broncos are terrible. The Packers have a good defense.
Right, right.
They're at home. Absolute lead pipe sink basin. Wow. I can't think of words.
Your redone
lead
kitchen.
Lead door bank vault. Lock. So you're going to have to remind me what this was on
guaranteed
Monday.
To happen, just like breathing, you know, oxygen being there in 5 minutes. Lock it in. All right. I like that pick. I like that pick. So what did I give you? I'm taking the Browns and I'm taking the Ravens. There you go. Right. Those are my two picks. Please. And again, I can't stress this enough. Do not follow my betting advice and put real money on these things, okay? You cannot hold me responsible for this stuff when it goes south. 803-0550 to join us. It is Football Friday. We are talking about the Bills and the Bengals and Sunday's game. Sean McDermott scheduled to join us around 9:15 this morning. Scaff coming up around 9:30. Football Friday on WGR brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, the official casino of the Buffalo Bills.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.